I hope everybody got the source sheet from the email. Good. I want to make sure to allocate some time for Parsha at the end, and it's actually Parsha slash Hanukkah, Dvar Torah, so we'll get a little bit of both. But as we said before, there's no shiur next week, so you can feel free to tune in, but, you know, they'll just be hanging out in the waiting room, I think. Let's see. Birchos HaTorah, the brachos that we make on studying Torah. So I wanted to give a little bit of an introduction, because I don't know how much everybody knows about the brachos, where they come from, and so on. But what I want to get to after the background is why they're so important. And I think we may have mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, just how important they are seen to be by Chazal in the Gemara. But we're gonna talk through that and ask the question of what exactly the importance of these brachos is. I should note the source sheet is almost all in Hebrew. I apologize. I just ran out of time for doing translations this week. The ones that have translations on it are just the sources that I pulled from a different source sheet of mine. So they already had a translation, but we'll get through it. I think it'll be okay. God willing. So first of all, if you take a look at the first source on the sheet, it's a Gemara in Brachos. And it tells us that Birchos HaTorah are unique in the sense that they are de'oraisa. It's actually a biblical obligation. And do you know offhand any other brachos that are actually obligated by the Torah? Dasi, you're muted.
Yes.
Right, Birkat HaMazon. Birkat HaMazon, assuming you're full. Right? If you're full, then Birkat HaMazon is also de'oraisa, because the Torah says, V'achalta v'savato v'erachto as Hashem alokecha, eat, be full, and bless Hashem for the food. And this, there is no other case that is agreed upon by everybody to be d'oraisa. There are a couple of other situations in which some make the argument, but generally Birchas HaTorah is the only one that is accepted outside of Birkat HaMazon. You will, of course, find one view that says it's d'rabbanan, but basically the view is that it's d'oraisa. Where does the Torah say to make a bracha on learning Torah? So the Gemara tells you here, Amr of Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Minayim leberkas hamazon la'achareha min ha-Torah. How do you know that making a bracha after eating food is biblical? Shenemar ve'achalta v'savata uve'erachta. Torah says, eat, be full, say the bracha. Minayim leberkas ha-Torah lefaneha min ha-Torah. How do you know the bracha before learning Torah is also biblical? Shenemar, because the Torah says, this is in Parshas Ha'azinu, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Le'lokenu. When I literally call out in the name of Hashem, but the way we read it is, when I read the name of Hashem, meaning Torah, Havu Godel Elokeinu, assign greatness or ascribe greatness to God, say a bracha. Now, there are a couple of different ways to look at this bracha. You could look at it as what we call Birkas HaMitzvah. It's a bracha on the mitzvah. Every time I'm going to do a mitzvah, not true for every time. Many times when I'm going to do a mitzvah, I make a bracha on it. Right? So we light menorah, we make a bracha before lighting menorah. That's one way to look at this bracha. Another way to look at it is Birkas HaShevach. It's a bracha of praise. We're saying, God, it's so incredible that you gave us the Torah. We are so grateful. We're so happy that we have it. We're about to learn it. We're making a bracha to Hashem to express our appreciation for it. Those are two basic options for it. I'm not going into the whole debate. It's a technical debate, and it's an interesting debate, but it's a little technical. The bracha, though, is said before you learn Torah. Did you notice the contrast in that Gemara in source number one between the bracha on food and the bracha on learning Torah? What's the difference that's presented between the two?
We only make the bracha afterwards. Learning we do before.
Correct. The d'oraisa is make a bracha after eating food, make a bracha before learning Torah. Why would that be? Why don't I reverse it? Why don't I have both?
But the food is conditional because you just said it, you have to be full.
You have to be full. So why did God say that? I mean, that only pushes the question further. In other words, why is the pasuk that way?
Maybe one of the answers could be that any bit of Torah is considered
but then do it after. I make a bracha after being full. I make a bracha after learning a little bit of Torah. Why am I doing the bracha before with Torah and after with benching? You could make the argument, if you say that learn the bracha on Torah is Birkas HaMitzvah, so you always make a bracha before you do the mitzvah, right? Other than the notable exceptions, you know, candle lighting for Shabbos, mikvah, whatever. There are exceptions to that rule. But generally speaking, the bracha is before the mitzvah, so I make the bracha before I do the mitzvah. You could give that answer. Dina, you were going to say?
I was going to say for benching, like you're thanking Hashem for the food that you ate. Like you have to first eat it, and now you're thanking that you're full.
Right, and that's along the lines of what Dasi had said. But I still have a problem with that, because why did Hashem structure it that way is my question.
Well, you could still wash before, but it's a thank you so much, I'm full type of bracha.
Okay. So why didn't Hashem say, make a bracha to express appreciation for food before you eat it, the same way you express appreciation for Torah before you learn it?
I think maybe you'll only really appreciate it after you're satiated, after you've eaten it.
Mm.
You know, like on a full stomach, oh, like I feel so good. When you're so starving, you don't appreciate it as much until you've digested it, you've relaxed, you've let it settle, you've had a meal, and now I can even more so praise Hashem.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So it's the, there's something greater to thank Hashem for once you've already eaten. But that's my understanding. So that's actually close to where the Sefer HaChinuch goes with this. If you take a look at source number 2, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, this is the mitzvah where he discusses the mitzvah of benching. He says, Min hadome, it appears, Sha'atam lefishahu baruchu lo yish'al min hachomer lo'ovdo lo'hodos bituvo rak achar shiekabel pras mimenu. Hashem doesn't ask from material beings that they should acknowledge the greatness of what he has provided for them, until he's actually given them something, until they've received something. Ki achelek habehemi lo sakir betova rak achar hahergesh. The animal side of a person doesn't recognize that they've gotten something until they experience it. That's when it comes to eating. Vasechel, but on the other hand, the mind, yodea umakir, knows very well. V'kodem kabbalas ha-to'elas yavinoso, and understands it even before it has received the benefit. You value the Torah even before you learn it. You only value the food once you've experienced it. That's what he's saying. Al-kein yichayvenu ha-keh lahodos lefanav kodem kriyas ha-Torah, and therefore Hashem says, if you're going to read from the Torah, you have to thank me beforehand. That's a possible explanation offered by the Sefer HaChinuch. Of course, what it does not address is the question of, why don't I have a bracha after I learn Torah? So we're going to come back to that. I don't want to address that yet, but we don't have a closing bracha. The text of Birchas HaTorah is found in source number 3. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Yehuda says, quoting Shmuel, Asher kidushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Hashem commanded us la'asok in words of Torah. What does la'asok mean?
To toil, to be busy with.
To toil, to be busy with, to immerse ourselves in. Not lilmod, but la'asok. I want to come back to that a little bit later. But that bracha is not enough. Rabbi Yochanan misayim bahachi. Rabbi Yochanan concluded that bracha with Ha'arev na Hashem Elokeinu as divrei sorasecha b'finu u'fifios amcha beis Yisrael. We ask Hashem to make the words of Torah sweet in our mouths and in the mouths of the entire nation. V'nihya anachnu b'tzetzo'einu b'tzetzo'ei amcha beis Yisrael. There are some different editions of this that people use, but this is the Gemara's edition, that we and our children and the children of all Israel, kulanu yode'ei shemecha, should know Hashem's name, v'oskei sorasecha, and should be involved in your Torah. He doesn't have the word lishma in this edition, although we popularly do have it in ours. And then he concludes, Baruch Ata Hashem Hamlamed Torah L'Amo Yisrael, thanking Hashem for teaching Torah to his nation Israel. And then Rav Hamnuna chimes in, and he says, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim V'Nasan Lanu Es Torah So, that Hashem selected us from all the nations and gave us his Torah, concluding with Nosein HaTorah. And Rav Hamnuna says, this is such an awesome bracha, Hilkoch Lemrinu L'Kulhu, let's say everything. So all of these become Birchas HaTorah. There's a classic debate that we're not going to go into about whether it's really two brachos or whether it's three brachos, right? You can tell why this is a question. it says Rabbi Yochanan concluded Rabbi Yehuda quoting Shmuel's line with this second one, Harevna. So it sounds like it's all part of one bracha, but others read that as two separate ones. So that, if I heard somebody say, Asher Kichamus, Asavat Sivan al-Asok b'divrei Torah, I actually would not answer Amen. Because maybe the bracha is not done yet. But that's also, it's a side note right now. Women, by the way, I hope you all are aware, are obligated in saying Birchas HaTorah as well. This is not just a guy thing. Okay. That's Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, Mem Zayin. Yeah. So it's actually worse than that. It's actually, and this is something I wanted to come back to a little bit later, it's actually considered an avera to learn Torah without saying the bracha.
Really?
Yeah, it's bad.
Wow.
So anybody who hasn't said it yet can just, you know, look at the sheet here and no, the you need
wow.
a sitter.
I say it with Mada Adi every morning because I'm worried, but still, like, wow. Yeah.
I actually used to know someone who used to, she's not Orthodox, but she used to teach classes and she would start the class by singing Birchas HaTorah with the students, like beforehand. I thought that was a very nice thing to do. I'm not going to start doing that. But I thought that was a very nice thing to do. And for reasons that we'll get to, I think it's an important thing to do. Yeah. I might be overstating by using the word avera because avera has a technical meaning, of transgression. But yeah, no, it's worded pretty seriously. And like, there's a lot of debate. Like, what if you listen to music and it has a pasuk in it? You know, what if you're just thinking words of Torah in your head? But basically, yeah, everyone should say it in the morning, and it covers you for the whole day. That's the way it should be. So I'm glad you asked the question. All right.
It doesn't mention anywhere in the brachos to retain it, which I think is also something very important.
Yeah, it doesn't...
Not just learning it, but also to...
Sorry?
It does say to retain, because I find
no,
so
it
many
does not.
Times I... Yeah.
It does not say to retain it. There's one of my favorite Rashis, if you can have a favorite Rashi, you know, it's hard to pick. But this is truly one of my favorite Rashis. There's a Gemara in Brachos in which, I think it's Rabbi Zeira who says, Agra de Pirka Rihata. He says, the reward for a shear comes from running to the shear. Brachas Dav Zayin. And I think I've commented on this once. I think Dasi said that her husband likes this Rashi also, if I remember correctly. The Rashi on it comments and says that the reason why the reward for the shear comes from running to the shear is because most people don't understand the shear, and even if they understand it, they don't remember it. But at least there's a reward for running to it. And the reason that makes me feel good is because if Rashi, the greatest teacher of all time, hands down, could not get people to understand what he was saying and remember it afterwards, I can't feel bad. Rashi couldn't do it either. Dasi, do I remember correctly? Was that...
Yeah, we had this conversation.
Okay.
It was a long time ago.
Okay. But that's, it also makes me feel bad because with Zoom, no one's running to the shear anymore. Now it's not a running thing, but nonetheless, but you're correct, Nechama. The bracha does not say anything about remembering it afterwards. That doesn't mean that you should feel good about not remembering it. That's not what I meant. People do have to. There are some of my shiurim. I'm doing it actually with the Shmuel shiur this afternoon, where we actually, after we've learned a certain amount, then we do a review. It doesn't lend itself really to doing that when you're doing standalone shiurim every week that are on separate things, but I don't know, maybe it's something to consider. So all of this, all of what we just discussed in terms of what the text of Birchas HaTorah is and all of that is background for source number 4. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says, quoting Rav, commenting on a pasuk in the 9th chapter in Yirmiyahu, Mai dichsiv, mi ha'ish ha'chacham v'yavein es zos, v'asher dvar pi Hashem elav, V'yagida. Who is wise and will understand this? and the word of God comes to him, and he will tell it. Alma avda ha'aretz. Why was the land lost? Why was the land destroyed? Why were we kicked out of Israel? Yirmiyahu is saying, who will understand what Hashem is saying is the reason for losing Eretz Yisrael? And the Gemara continues to comment on this pasuk, saying, Davar ze amru chachamim velo pirshuhu. The chachamim said it and didn't explain it. Amru neviim velo pirshuhu. The neviim said it and didn't explain it, meaning no one knew what the Zos was. When it says this, that you're supposed to understand, what is the this? What is Yirmiyahu talking about? Ad shepirsha v'akadosh baruch hu bi'atzmo. So Hashem explains it in the next pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Shenamar. Vayomer Hashem, Hashem said, Al ozvam estarasi asher nasati lifnehem. It's because they abandoned my Torah that I put before them. I gave them Torah, and they abandoned it, and therefore, they lost the land. So, if I stopped the Gemara there, I would say, abandonment of Torah caused them to lose the land. And honestly, that wouldn't be terribly remarkable, because that's kind of logical. You get the land because of your covenant with Hashem to keep the Torah, you abandon the Torah, so you lose the land. But that's not where it stops. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Shelo Berchu BaTorah Tchila. Rav Yehuda quotes Rav to say, it's not that they abandoned fulfillment of Torah, it's not even that they abandoned learning Torah. It's that they didn't make Berchos HaTorah first. That's, Alina, that's what fueled my response to you about what happens if somebody hasn't made Berchos HaTorah. They're saying you lose the land for not having made Berchos HaTorah. So what does that mean? How did you determine that they weren't making Berchos HaTorah? Where did you get that from? Meaning, what is it about this pasuk that says they didn't say Berchos HaTorah? So Rashi gives you an approach, and I brought it there on the sheet. Shelo berchu batorah tchila, they didn't say the bracha on learning Torah. When they were involved in Torah, they didn't say the bracha first. She says, the basis for this is when Yirmiyahu says, not just they abandoned my Torah, but they abandoned the Torah that I put before them. That's where the drasha comes from. Meaning, the bracha of Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim, that Hashem chose us, that he put the Torah before us, in front of us specifically, that's what we're doresh from. That's what we're learning from here. They didn't say, this is the Torah Hashem gave us. They just learned it. That's what's missing. What's missing is, I gave this to you. You don't recognize that when you're learning Torah. You follow? That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara. So the question you have to ask, though, is why would that cause us to learn to lose the land? Meaning, I'm doing the mitzvos. I'm even learning Torah. For that, we get kicked out? What's that about? I compare it with the following. If you take a look at source number 5, I brought you a selection of psukim, which speak to why we lose the land of Israel, or what we can do wrong in order to lose the land. So that you have psukim from Achrimos and Kedoshim, that, if you see a number 5, the first bullet point, that link it to Arayos, to immorality. Immorality causes you to lose the land, right? That makes sense. That's one of the big 3. Then you have another pasuk that I brought you there from Bechukosai, where Hashem explains why he is kicking them out of the land, and he says, "Bimishpatai ma'asu, they rejected my laws, ve'es mitzvosai go'ala nafsham, and they rejected my mitzvos. They found my mitzvos repellent." So that's sort of catch-all, right? You dumped the entire Torah, you lost the land. Then you've got in Dvarim Yud Aleph, better known as Vahaya Im Shamoa from Shema, where we're told Avodah Zarah. In the event that you stray after the idols of the nations, V'chara Af Hashem Bachem, you lose the land. And then finally, the one that appears in the Tocha in Parshas Kisavo, Dvarim Chav Ches, Tachas Eshelo Avadatem Es Hashem Elokeichem B'simcha V'tuv Levav. You didn't serve Hashem with joy. So here I have, on the one hand, arayos, right, immorality, not keeping any of the mitzvos, avodah zarah. The joy one always invites question. What's that about? That doesn't seem to fit either. And then you have not saying brachos before learning Torah. Like, you are learning Torah. You're just not saying a bracha on it. You know, I give a Dvar Torah sometimes to the kids at Or Chaim. Usually once a year I use this Dvar Torah. You have some kids who, you know, these are grade 9 students I'm usually davening with. So like they're 14 years old. They've just been putting on tefillin for a year, you know. So sometimes you see that like a kid's shel rosh is not on like the right way. The knot is out of place or whatever it is. Like you say to them, like, you know, you're going to all of that effort, the expense of tefillin and the effort of actually taking it with you. You remembered your tefillin and yeah, you're putting it on and everything else. And yet you're going to lose the mitzvah because, you know, you're putting it on in a way that's careless instead of focusing. I say it in a more positive way. I don't say it that negatively. I do it in a very positive way. Nice analogy and all that. But the point is, these are people who are keeping mitzvos. These are people who are learning Torah. They're really going to get dinged. I'm not dinged. They're going to lose Israel because they don't say a bracha first. What in the world is Rav talking about? So there's a classic answer to this with some nuances, but the basic answer is the following. There's a difference between learning Torah intellectually and learning Torah as a religious experience. And this is an idea which Rabbeinu Yonah mentions, or is quoted as mentioning. Rabbeinu Nissim quotes it. If you take a look at source number 6, the Rabbeinu Nissim on the Gemara in Nedarim, he says, "Umatzasi b'megillas starim shel harav Rabbeinu Yonah zal dekra hachidiek." He says, I found a hidden scroll where Rabbeinu Yonah said the following from a pasuk, dot, 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 Oskin hayu batorah tamid. That the people we're talking about in the Gemara and Bava Metzia in source number 4 were involved in Torah perpetually. Ulafichach hayu chachamim unevim tmeim ama avda haaretz, which is why that Gemara in source number 4 said, we can't understand why they lost the land. These were people who were doing everything right. Ad shepir shava kadosh baruch hu ba'atzmo, so Hashem explained, shehu yodeya me'imke or ma'amake halev, shaloyim uvarachem batara tchila. Hashem knows the depths of the hearts. Hashem knows that they weren't saying the bracha first. Klomar, shalo haisa hatara chashuva be'eneim kol kach shei ra'ui levarech aleha. Torah just wasn't that important to them, that they should make a bracha on it. That wasn't the way they looked at it. Shaloayu oskim balishma. They weren't involved for the sake of Hashem, for the sake of the mitzvah. And therefore, they didn't take the bracha seriously. I'll learn it, but I'm learning it intellectually. I'm learning it culturally. I'm not learning it religiously. You follow?
Is that so bad?
Well, that seems to be. That seems to be what he's saying. I mean, Rav Moshe Feinstein makes it, I think, a little more understandable with his take on it, which I brought you in source number 7. He suggests it wasn't just that they're learning it for some purpose other than religion, but they were learning it for self-aggrandizement or for self-enrichment. So if you take a look at number 7, Shelo lamdu hatorah lishma, mishum shelo haisa hatorah chashuva be'eneim lamda mitzad chashivusa. They didn't learn Torah for the sake of the mitzvah because Torah was not so important to them that they should learn it because of its importance. De'inyane ha'hevel kavod uparnasa hayu yoser chashuvin be'eineihem. Instead, vain matters, temporary matters, ephemeral matters, honor, making a living, those are more important to them. That was what drove them to learn. If they knew that it would get them honor, if they were able to be paid for it, then they would do it. V'lachein lo berchu, and that's why they didn't say a bracha on it. They didn't want to learn it as a mitzvah. It was an intellectual study. There was no feeling to it. There's no religious experience to it. The Mishnah Brura based on this, makes the following comment in source number 8. Talking about Berachos HaTorah. V'yivarech osa b'simcha gedola. You don't just say it. He says, say the bracha with great joy. And he quotes our Gemara. And then he says, lo berchu Berachos HaTorah. Shelo haisa HaTorah chashuv b'einem. Because Torah wasn't so important to them. V'lachin lo higina. And therefore the Torah did not protect them from the invaders. So, and therefore, it's important to be very careful with this. Side note, did you notice his shift in explaining the punishment that befell them?
The Torah wasn't there, it wasn't like a protection for them anymore because they didn't make the bracha. Not that they didn't gain anything from it.
Oh, I was going to look at it a little bit differently. I'm not sure this is the same thing. I was going to say that the he's not saying that God said, you're not making a bracha on the Torah, I'm going to zap you. Rather, when the enemy attacks, Torah's not going to protect you. Don't look to your merit of learning Torah and say, Torah's supposed to be a protector, why didn't you protect me? Because what you did wasn't learning Torah. That's the idea. Nechama, you follow?
Yeah.
That's the way that he's framing it. But the bracha is meant to be a celebration of our bond with Hashem. You can make the argument that the same thing fits with the odd man out in source number 5, right? We listed all of these things that cause you to lose the land, and we said, which one of these is not like the other, right? You have immorality, all of the mitzvos, idolatry, and then you weren't happy when you served Hashem. Where does that fit? Same thing. It's about this being a religious experience. Learning Torah is not just, I get, you know, the nice breakfast spread that Hadassah is gonna put out the morning that we finally come back to learn in person. Although I have to say, it's a good incentive. It's not just about, gaining information. Now I know how to practice Judaism. Now I got a degree. Or whatever it is. That's not what this is about. It's supposed to be a spiritual experience. That learning Torah is supposed to be a spiritual experience. And that's what drives you to say a bracha.
It's hard to understand this because you feel that one does think that learning Torah should bring about those feelings naturally.
Right.
And that it shouldn't be so, learning Torah shouldn't be so dry that you can learn Torah your whole life as an intellectual pursuit. It feels, I know it to be true, but I mean, we know many people who are like that, but it feels almost wrong that the Torah, which is like supposed to be so perfect, should have this flaw in it that it could be learned that way.
So, yes and no. I mean, I actually had written a note to myself on the side that fits, you know, with this. What about if you're a person for whom this doesn't do it? What about if you're a person who finds it intellectually interesting, maybe? Or not even that? Like, where does that leave the person as a Jew? So I say two things. Number one, we have a principle, which applies to learning Torah almost more than anything else, of mitoch shelo lishma balishma. If a person does it and it's not for the sake of Hashem, it will ultimately come to that. So the person should not stop trying. That's number one. But they should say the bracha. But number two is a comment that the Netziv makes in Parshas Balak. And I think we must have discussed this comment at some point. Actually, you know what? Maybe not, because usually by the time we hit Balak, people have gone away on vacation. So we may never have had this conversation. In Bilam's brachos / klalos to the Jews, one of the things he says is he describes the camp of the Jews that he sees, kiganot alei nahar, like gardens upon a river. So the Netziv makes a fascinating comment there about Torah being like a garden. Now, the Netziv, you know, was in Volozhin, right, end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century. I don't know what kind of gardening they did in Volozhin. But nonetheless, he gives you the following analogy. He says, when you design a garden, So you have a central color reflected in the flowers that are in the middle, and then you have other flowers that are around the edges of that garden that have other colors, and they complement the main one. But you have your theme, and then you have the ones around it. For those who are a little more familiar with gardening, you could add in the different heights that you do, and the spacing, and all of that. He didn't go into that, oddly enough. But he says mitzvos are the same way. You have to do all of them. He's not giving you an out. But he says some mitzvos are going to resonate with a person. They're going to connect more with Hashem for certain mitzvos than they will for others. So what you have to do is find that which resonates with you and make that the central flower, the one that is the dominant theme in the garden, and use the others. You have to fulfill them, but those others offset that main one, meaning they're not your focus. But different mitzvos are going to resonate with different people. So you have some mitzvos, you have some people for whom chesed is what really gets them. And even within chesed, for some people it might be bikur cholim, for some people it might be tzedakah. Mitzvos have sub-mitzvos, so to speak. For some people, Talmud Torah does it. And again, there are subcategories. For some people, it's halacha. For some people, it's Tanakh. For some people, it's parsha. For some people, it's, on and on and on. The Torah is a very big place. And then you'll have other people for whom a particular mitzvah is really what resonates with them. That's what grabs them. That's what moves them. It's what makes them feel a connection to Hashem. So, Dasi, for the question that you're asking, the answer is that for some people, just the way they're built, so to speak, whether that's neshama or whether that's brain or both, certain things are going to resonate with them more, and Talmud Torah may resonate with them less. The goal is still that it should be a religious experience.
Right, but you're putting Talmud Torah into like one little box as if it's like one of the 613, but I would imagine that Talmud Torah is much more encompassing. I mean, it encompasses all the mitzvos and everything. So to say that someone can't find or it's impossible to be learning Torah for them without any natural recognition seems to be like, spirituality seems to be like a major flaw in Torah if they can't find that anywhere in the whole thing.
I wonder if that's true. I'm going to offer the following speculation, and it's a speculation. We classically divide learning Torah into two separate mitzvos. There is learning Torah in order to gain the information you need to function as a Jew. So I need to know how to wash before I eat bread, so I learn Torah in order to know how to wash before I eat bread. I need to know what Jews are supposed to believe about Hashem, so I need to learn that. I need to learn, whatever, fill in the blank, all of the different aspects of Torah. Separate from that is Talmud Torah Lishma, learning Torah just to have the experience of bonding with Hashem. I'm not so sure. When you say that, Torah is not just in that little box, I'm not so sure which part of learning Torah is bigger than the box and which part is part of the box. I think you could make the argument that the Talmud Torah that is everything, that is all-encompassing, is the one involving just learning how to be a Jew. And that the idea of learning beyond that just for the sake of learning is in the box, along with all the other mitzvos. I hesitate to say that, because I'm a product of yeshivos, and in yeshivos that's not the way they talk about it. The kihem chayenu v'orech yameinu v'hem negeh yamam v'layla. It's my whole life. It's what I'm going to do day and night. But at the same time, I think this distinction is probably correct. And I think you can prove it. The fact that we say various mitzvos, all mitzvos, frankly, that are time-related or that have to happen at a particular time override learning Torah Lishma. If my parent says to me, I need you to rake the leaves, and I say, but I wanted to learn Mishnah right now, the answer is no, you rake the leaves. so that tells you where it is in terms of the boxes. I think that's the way I would look at it. I mean, there's more you could say about this, because you don't have a concept of Bittul Kibud Av V'Em the same way you have a concept of Bittul Torah. You know, we have a concept that I'm not supposed to have time that I'm not learning Torah. If I'm not engaged in some other active mitzvah pursuit, my default should be learning Torah. We don't say my default should be finding ways to honor my parents, you know, or you know, pick another mitzvah. So this requires more analysis. I'm not sure how to draw the distinction, but I think it is correct, fundamentally, that beyond knowing the Torah you need to know to live as a Jew, I think that beyond that, is where you're able to say, okay, this doesn't resonate with me. Once you've got the Torah you need to know as a Jew in order to be able to function, one is entitled to say, that's not where my emphasis is going to be. Chesed is going to be my emphasis. I mean, this is also the distinction between men and women in learning Torah. Right? Meaning women have the same obligation men do in terms of knowing how to be a Jew. Right? When you get done with learning all of Chumash, and learning Tanakh, and learning Machshava, and learning Halacha, then that's where you're able to pause. That's where you're able to say, okay, I did what I need to do. I wish you luck. But you have that same obligation that I do, you know, for all of that. Yeah. There's more to be said about this, but I think I'm going to go back towards this, or we're never going to get to the Parsha and Chanukah Dvar Torah. The idea of using this bracha to make an experience a spiritual experience, you turn Talmud Torah into a religious experience, is actually what we do with all of our brachos, when you think about it. Meaning, Birkas Hananin, brachos on pleasure, right, turns eating food into a religious experience. Birkas HaHodah, right, I see lightning, and I make a bracha. That's also turning the impressive experience into a religious experience. Birkas HaMitzvah also takes my deed and converts it from my action into a religious experience. And particularly when you're dealing with a mitzvah, it really shouldn't be rote. It shouldn't be something to gratify myself. And failure to recite the bracha demonstrates a contamination of the deed itself. That's the idea. Now, I'm just trying to figure out how I want to deal with this, because we're going to run out of time for the Chanukah part. So I feel bad if we continue with this in 2 weeks. Is anyone going to remember where we were? Yeah? You think so? All right, so I'm going to pause this, because there's more to say here that we haven't yet said. And come back to it, and we'll do the Chanukah Dvar Torah and Chanukah / Parsha now. Okay? All right.